Father, without you, this word is going to be just words. But I ask that you would release your Holy Spirit so that our eyes will see, our ears will hear, and our hearts will perceive what your Spirit is speaking to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you on a little journey to Philippians chapter 3. How many know that there's a saying that sometimes comes out of our mouth that says, I can do this all by myself. And I'll be honest with you, I've got Gabriella now who's going to be turning 5 March 1st. And she's approximately 30, 35 in the knowledge. She can tell you she don't need any help. I can do this. All right? She went to the nursing home the other day with Irene, and she told the nurse that she was going to be a doctor. So one of the patients wanted to, ask for a little bit of help, and Irene says, Gabby, what would you like to do? And she says, well, I don't know yet. But I'll examine her. So that gives you a clue. All right? How many know we all started there? Thank you. When you are born again of the Lord, you're going to find that if you take confidence in what you can do yourself, you might end up crashing. I've learned that what I end up doing on my own usually does not produce very good fruit. It might produce a little bit, but the best is when God is the author. Amen. So in Philippians 3, verse 1, it says, no confidence in the flesh. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. He says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Who is he talking about? We, meaning the church. When you and I put confidence in our abilities, we're really not very wise because we all start there, but then there's a transition that needs to come. And that transition has been part of what Maria was saying, where you trust the one who created you to heal you. Where you will trust the Lord to heal your hearts, to heal those that you love, to set them free. Verse 4, though I myself have reason for such confidence. Why? He's going to tell you why. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. That's who St. Paul was. He was faultless. He was doing everything right until the crash came. Anybody know what kind of crash he landed into? He landed his face first in the ground. And then totally blinded. And you can find that in the book of Acts. Verse 7 says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. That says, all your education, all your degrees, which you might have more than any thermometer, all of your abilities in the natural, what are they worth? Nothing before God. Why? Because you are in charge. And there's nothing wrong with you getting an education now. I'm not against it. In fact, St. Paul was taught and brought through all this teaching for a reason. And you and I, all this attitude, even when it starts at 3 and 4 and 5, all these things are part of God's plan to teach us that the natural realm is a wonderful realm, but it's temporary. Very, very temporary. You say, well, I'm only 20. I'm only a teenager. I've got a clue for you. I was a teenager yesterday. Now I'm not a teenager anymore. I was talking to a gentleman a little earlier today. And I said, you're not old. Abraham was old. Moses was old. You're still young. You got a ways to go before you get to the perfection level. No matter what age you are, God has an ability to change us. If we stop looking at the natural and we look at the Lord's work in us. You say, well, what has he done? He's just let me know that all this wonderful righteousness that St. Paul had became what? As nothing. He said, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 7 again, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Or knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. Whoa! For whose sake? For his sake. There are things that may have had a great deal of value in your past. Many, many teachings, many titles, many great things that happened to you. And I'm not negating them. But there's going to be a time and a place where you're going to land before Father God and you're going to say, well, I have all these degrees. And he's going to say, yeah, so does your thermometer. What else have you got for an excuse? How holy are you? How much time did you spend with my son? How much time did you worship? How much time did you get to know the one who died for you? How much time did you take reading his word? And all these things are valuable. How much time did you take to serve one another instead of criticizing one another? While you're criticizing, what are you? You're in your flesh. My goodness, there's no amens there. While I'm criticizing, try it on. While I'm criticizing, I'm in my flesh. And it produces what? War games. Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, it produces war games. It also produces indigestion, arthritis. Want a few more? Aches, pains. Indigestion? Yeah. You're cuckoo, Kim. No, I'm not cuckoo. Check it out. The person who's filled with anxiety, what happens to their stomach lining? It tightens up. It produces what? Acid reflex. Welcome to the club. Okay? Oh, you say, it can't happen to me. My cousin happened to be 27 when he had his first heart attack. He was in the hospital for almost 2 months because they really didn't think he was going to live. He had 2 beautiful little boys. Oh, it can never happen to me. I'm only a teenager. I've got news for you. Take a ride down to the local hospital and see how many teenagers are in the hospital. A lot. Why? when they commit suicide in the town next door. Why? Because they've been harassed. Oh, it's wonderful to have harassment. Yeah. Bullying is a real wonderful gift coming out of your ex what? What kind of head?
Garbage.
Yeah, but what kind of head? A wonderful swollen head. How holy you are. Paul had the problem. He was persecuting the church because he thought he had knowledge better than them. They were following some guy named Jesus. And as far as he was concerned, they deserved death. Yeah. That's exactly what his story was. That's why he says, I consider everything I had as lost. What you learned out of your natural understanding from the time you were a child till the time you know Jesus can be considered what? Yeah, it's not going to produce anything. Yes, it might give you a living. Yes, you might get a degree and get a wonderful job. And I'm not against any of those things. But I am telling you that St. Paul had all that and he lost it all. Why did he lose it? Because of a greater purpose for his life. Verse 9. Well, go back to 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. The righteousness of doing things right because it's so great to be proud of how holy you are. Or how more knowledgeable you are than your other friend, brother, sister, child, mother. It doesn't matter. You fill in the blank. You say, does that include husbands and wives? Yes, it does. When you respect your brother, your husband, your wife, your child. You say, oh, the children don't deserve respect. Ha ha! I could take you to the scripture and give you a legal law. I could also tell you that if you don't honor your father and mother, you've got a problem. You've got to honor everybody, including the one who gave you salvation. It is Christ Jesus Himself. Are you ready for the next one? A righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. You know, when I began to understand that all of what I was had to be laid down and given to the Lord, and begin to listen to what He wanted rather than what I wanted, we changed lordship. I got rid of a job, which was king of myself. Amen? You could be queen, depending on whatever you think you are. You could be a princess. Gabby thinks she's a princess. She even gave dictation to her grandmother that, in the room where she sleeps when she sleeps over now, that she's got to have some princesses on the wall. So my wife says, I don't know where to buy them. She says, go to Walmart, Meme, like mommy did. Because she's got those, princess, little decals on the wall. So now Irene has to go shopping to make sure that Gabby has a princess room with princesses on the wall. Tell me if she's not smart. What am I saying to you? You can take a lesson from a five-year-old and see yourself. How many times do you think that somebody else is going to make you happy if they buy you something at Walmart? Well, come on.
You can tell.
Some people are confessing and God is really bringing in righteousness by faith. Verse 10, I want to know, Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Oh, wait a minute, that can't be in there. But it is. What kind of suffering? How many of you have ever had an irritation by a person? Thank you. That just might be the suffering you were designed to receive for a while. Amen? You know, when you decide that you can pray for those that don't agree with you and really get on to the fact that they are a part of the body of Christ, that does include Christians. It includes all the non-Christians in our lives. And it may not be comfortable to pray for those that are in irritation. Amen? How many have ever had a doctor you'd like to trade in? Thank you.
A doctor?
Doctors. Nurses. Pastors.
I have.
How many would like to trade pastors? Yeah.
No.
Come on now. I can be an irritation.
But now we got the good one.
Oh, baloney. You got the one that'll push your buttons like the rest of them. And they're designed to what? Make you and I more like the one that we love. If I can push the buttons in you to get you to love yourself and kick your butt hard enough to make you wake up, I'm going to do it. Because I care. If I didn't care, I wouldn't do a thing. I'd let you just flush yourself down the toilet. You say, oh, well, that's not nice. Well, how many people have given up on life at one time? Thank you. It's time to wake up. The toilet's not a place to live. Okay? And some people think that that's what they are. A piece of garbage to be flushed away. That is not who you are. Jesus gave up his life to make you what? Valuable. And I am preaching.
Amen.
But you are valuable, even if you don't think you are. You are valuable.
Amen.
You are an awesome gift to the body of Christ, except maybe you ain't got a clue yet who you really are. Just because you haven't got a clue doesn't mean God's not going to educate you maybe tomorrow.
Amen.
Thank you. Just maybe today he might get through to you.
Amen.
Thank you. Wow, they're alive. It's getting exciting. Let's go back to verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Try it on. I want to know Christ. And the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Oh. And becoming like him in his death. Oh, my God. He laid down how long?
3 days.
3 days and three nights. Is that the end of the world?
No.
Thank you.
Only 3,000 years.
Only 3,000 years, according to the scripture. Could be a couple of days, could be a couple of weeks, could be a couple of hours. When you make the decision to let yourself, let's say, not be so important in your own eyes, and maybe take God's opinion as really the one that is valuable to you, you will be changed. And you ask him to change you. I know there were corners in my life, and there still are some. I yelled out, God, why can't you finish changing this? He said, Kim, you're too stubborn. Yeah. You're too stubborn. You don't want to lay it down. You think you're going to fall apart if you lay this down. Well, guess what? I did fall apart when I finally obeyed. And when I fell apart, he picked me up and he put me back together the right way.
Amen.
It was like trying to stuff a puzzle and make the pieces fit when they won't. When the picture's done, it looks, my God, that's a mess. So when you're in charge of your own life, it's like you putting the wrong pieces in the wrong places and think it's going to come out right. What did I give you? Jeremiah 29:11. God has a plan for my life. Try it on. Look at your neighbor. Says, God has a plan for you. So get with the action. Lay down. down. He'll put you together. The right way. Whoa. Wow. Amen? All right. You guys are waking up. Verse 11. And so, somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, if you lay down and you let Jesus and his whole plan of action for your life come to life in you, you're going to feel like the way he did when he came out of the grave. He was a happy camper.
Should be too.
But you know what? We're in the dying process. We give up sometimes. Mm-hmm. When we get so focused on our pain, we then get depressed. Mm-hmm. Wrong thing to do. I could take you to chapter 4 here. It says, and rejoice, and rejoice, and rejoice. Rejoice because God has a plan. When you are not so in control of everything, he will lift you up and give you resurrection. You say, well, I've already had a couple. Well, how about a couple more? Amen? How about a couple more resurrections? Does you have to have just one? How about if you rise out of bed in the morning with joy in your face and a smile in your heart? What's going to happen in your house? They'll think you were a new creation, huh? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's going to happen to those around you? They're going to get happy instead of grunchy. I know that's a brand new word. Well, you know, some people, you know, they get out of bed and you wish they would just go back in the room and close the door. Amen?
Amen?
Don't be one of those. You say, well, you have no idea how I feel. Well, wait. Pray in the bedroom before you come out. Yeah. Lord Jesus, put a smile on my face. Amen? Ask him. You might be surprised. He might fill you up with his grace. He might put a smile on your face, and when you get to the coffee, it won't be a grouch or a grunch. Well, come on. And you just might find that if you are full of life and full of joy, that it'll rub off on them, whoever them are. Close your eyes. Say, Father.
Father.
I'm seeking more grace.
I'm seeking more grace.
And more favor with you.
And more favor with you.
Give me the willingness.
Give me the willingness.
To give up.
To give up.
Whatever you're trying to get rid of in me.
Whatever you're trying to get rid of in me.
Whatever I'm afraid of.
Teach me.
To give it up.
And you,
Lord Jesus,
will heal
and resurrect me.
Amen.
And amen. Dale, I gave you a little bit of homework. Are you ready?
Gail and I had a little bit of a sharing time, and she has a little bit of a gift to give you.
Come on, sweetie.
Well, last week I walked out everything that Kim talked about today.
Okay.
My flesh ruled. And it wasn't pretty. And it was ruling, my husband was not being what I wanted him to be. He was in a tough space, and I just did not respond the way I should respond. And it took me about 3 days, and it finally was the third day we were in Florida, and it became very apparent to me that I was either going to submit or it was going to be a disaster. So I did. I finally submitted. So the rest of the week went fairly well. But as is my normal pattern, I came back and said, okay, God, okay, what's going wrong here? What he did is he gave me a very intense lesson on grace. And he's teaching me that grace is far more than I realize what it is. And that what I needed at those moments when my husband was not mean was, he was in a tough space. Let's just leave it there. He was in a tough space. I needed grace. I needed the grace of God. And what he's impressing upon my heart is that grace is far more than just favor. Grace is the power of God to come up within the side of me in full of compassion, full of truth, full of him, just rising up and ruling. It's grace. So he gave me several scriptures. And he did take me to one in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. That was Paul. And Paul's statement was, and this is 2 Corinthians 1, 12. It is a reason for pride and exultation to which our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you, with devout and pure motives and godly sincerity. Now, here's the key. Not in fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. Okay, Lord. Thank you. I get it. I have been proclaiming grace in many instances throughout the week, finding out that there are some areas in me that are very resistant to it. It's taking a great deal of perseverance. Then he also took me over to Luke 2, verse 40. And began to teach me that if Jesus needed grace, so did I. What I did not realize until he pressed this upon my heart was that Jesus also depended solely upon God's grace. And that was in Luke 2:40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What he was impressing upon me is Jesus could do nothing that he had to walk in without God's grace. That who did I think I was that I could do anything, including deal with some difficulties with my marriage and my husband without God's grace? That nothing I was going to say, nothing I was going to do was going to change what was I was dealing with, except God's grace for me to walk in and to be able to handle the situation, not in my flesh, but in God's grace. That's what he's imprinted. There's far more scriptures. I'd be very glad to share them as Kim so directs. This is the two that she asked me to just say when we had a conversation.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a follow-up.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But he's still working.
I was just going to say there's more to come.
Like there's stuff inside that's still, it's like it's coming up, it's all stuff that's got to go. It was a very hard place to be. Very hard.
So how about if you put your Bibles down and stand up? You see, I think what this confirms is that, you know, on our own we can do a few things. Come on up, Dad. Come on up. Come on. Have a circle. You can handle circles together. Without God's grace, you know, we are going to be just human. And human is okay. But spirit is much stronger. Your eternal part is your spirit man. Your natural part is this flesh. Like I told you, my cousin at 56 went home to be with Jesus. Her flesh is in the ground. Decomposing. That's what happens. But her spirit is in a joyful place. It's with the Lord and with her dad and mom. The dreams she had have been confirmed. God made it clear to heal her and take her home. we've also heard from our sister now that Jesus needed grace. And he grew in the knowledge of the Father by grace. In the book of Hebrews, it says he grew in the knowledge and obedience of his Father and became a son through the things he... Anybody can...
Suffering.
Yeah, his suffering. If Jesus had an option, he would have said to the cross, forget it. Amen?
Amen.
If I would have had that same option, I would have said, ain't going that way. But sometimes suffering is used for us to wake up and to go higher with him. And you say, oh my God, it can't be. I've already had my share. I should have heard another amen.
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 Close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
We're realizing.
We're realizing
that St. Luke had a clue. Jesus couldn't do it without grace.
Jesus couldn't do it without grace.
And neither can I.
Things that are happening.
In my life right now.
In my life right now.
The things that I'm suffering.
That I'm not happy about.
God's got a plan.
And I need grace.
To make it.
Through this test.
And I'm expecting to receive it today. Because it says if we ask.
We shall receive.
So I'm asking for grace.
Unmerited favor.
Great mercies. Being renewed every day this week.
Every hour as needed.
For the glory of our God.
Is welcome into my heart.
So that I can be.
What God's plan is.
Just for me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Glory to you,
Jesus. Hallelujah. More, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, minister to your people today. Minister to your saints today, Lord Jesus. They're under construction. And you alone will be glorified. Come, Holy Spirit, fill their hearts. Fill their hearts with grace. Oh, thank you, Lord. Sing with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound
that raised
a wretch like me. Once was lost, but but now I see.
Did anybody notice how the Holy Ghost is so sneaky? He got a brand new word in there. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to be a grunch this week. I'm going to be filled with grace. It's a lot better.
Hallelujah.
Share some hugs with
help
each other.
Father, we thank you for the tithings.
Oh, yes, I agree. Thank you.
Bless everybody.
And amen.
Thank you.
Share.